out this morning, and good to see everybody. They're going to change this battery out. All right, so let's go ahead and get our, do I need to wait till that gets changed out? Oh, we got that on. Let's go to the book of Mark this morning. We'll take our scripture from Mark. I'm going to preach on this thought this morning, three words spoken on the third day. Three words spoken on the third day. And in the book of Mark is the Mark's account of the resurrection. And I do thank God this morning that he came up. That separates him from all others. This morning, if you go to the grave of Muhammad, he's still there. You go to the grave of Buddha, he's still there. Every good man that's ever died is still there. But this morning, the Lord Jesus is not there. The book of Mark, chapter number 16, we'll look at verse number 1. The Bible said, when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they may come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said unto themselves, who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? When they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he said unto them, be not affrighted, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. And here's these three words I want to preach on this morning. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. And here Mark's account of the resurrection. You know, the resurrection is what separates Christ from all others.
Right.
You know, the world debates it this morning.
That's right.
You can turn on CNN and even Fox News, and people want to debate whether the Lord Jesus came up. It doesn't matter what CNN says.
Right.
It doesn't matter what Fox or the world
right.
said. There is an empty grave this morning, and the world can debate it. Let me say, not only the world tries to debate it, the world tries to discredit it. Amen. I don't know if y'all listen. Hopefully, you don't get your Bible from the History Channel. Amen. That is the worst place to look if you're interested in the Bible. Amen. They'll around Easter and the Christmas season, they'll do things about the Lord, and they were doing something. I guess it's been about 2 or 3 years ago, and they had come up with this theory that it was the swoon theory. I don't know if any of y'all ever heard that, but they said Jesus Christ was really not dead when they laid him in the grave. They said that the coolness of the grave woke him up, and therefore he was never dead to begin with. Let me tell you something, my friend. Those soldiers that beat him and crucified him were trained executioners. And the Bible tells us that he gave up the ghost. So it really doesn't matter what some professor or some doctor tells me. They can debate it all they want to, and they can discredit it all they want to. But my friend, the Bible said he is not here. He is risen. Not only do they discredit it and they debate it, there's some that deny that it ever happened. Amen. I'm going to tell you something this morning. It doesn't matter what anybody believes this morning. It doesn't really matter this morning what the world believes. I know that I serve a risen Savior. Not only do they debate it, they discredit it, they deny it. There's some that just disdain it. Amen. They just cannot stand the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But for us who are saved, it is our hope this morning. This morning when I got out of bed, I wasn't hoping in the government. I'll go ahead and tell you that. I wasn't hoping in my bank account. Dear God, I've seen it already. Amen. I wasn't hoping in the president of the United States. My hope this morning is in Jesus Christ. Amen. And Him alone. You know, for us that are saved, it's our hope. It's our victory and it's our song. We sung the song already, but I like the words. Sometimes we sing songs and we don't really understand what we're singing, but we sung the "Lo, in the grave he lay. Jesus my Savior. Waiting the coming day, Jesus my Lord. I like the second verse. It says, vainly they watched his bed, Jesus my Savior. Vainly they sealed the dead, Jesus my Lord. But that third verse, I'm telling you, that ought to make a Presbyterian shout. Amen. Death could not keep his prey. Jesus my Savior. He tore the bars away. Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty trumpet over his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain. He lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose. He arose. Hallelujah. He arose. Amen. And this morning, why did we gather here at 6 o'clock? Well, some of us, 6:20, amen. Why did we do that this morning? To celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those three words this morning, I'm going to preach fast because I'm hungry, amen. And I know some of you are. And I'll preach real fast, but I want you to know the three words, He is risen. Number one, it's a personal He, amen. The Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is arisen, amen. Yeah. Not only is it a personal word, the second word is, it's present. He is risen, amen. If he said he was risen, that means he could have died again, amen. Yeah. But it means that he is risen. So he is personal and is present, but risen is powerful, amen. Yeah. You show me another man that got out of the ground, amen. And I'll say, show you somebody that was powerful. And this morning I serve a powerful, risen, living Savior this morning. And I tell you, these words, He is risen, echo down through the ages. I want you to take your Bible, if you would, and go to 1 Corinthians. And I want to just look at those words. He is risen. He is risen. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm sorry, chapter 15. I want you to look in verse number 12 through 13. I would say, number one, these words are compelling words. They're compelling words. Look what Paul said about this. Now, if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some of you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. You know, this something about denying the resurrection, this ain't something new that the liberals come out with. This has been going on since the day he got up, amen. But I'm going to tell you, they were compelling words. Paul begins to address this in 1 Corinthians 15. Look at verse number 14. The Bible says, and if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is in vain. Can I say, number one, if Christ be not risen, why are these compelling words? Then what I'm doing today is in vain. Yesterday I preached, Friday and Saturday I preached a youth revival. And I went to Pell City, and I'll be honest with you, it would be all in vain if Jesus Christ had not come up from the grave. Over 20-something years, I preached all over the country. I preached in China. I preached in Canada. My friend, I preached almost in all the states of the Union. But I'll tell you this morning, if Jesus had not got out of the grave this morning, all those miles and all those words that I preached would have been in vain this morning. So why are they compelling words? Our preaching would be in vain. But look in verse 15, again in verse number 14. Not only would our preaching be in vain, but look what it says. Your faith is also in vain. Our promise is in vain. Man, this morning, we wouldn't have no hope this morning. We would be men most miserable. I could not even imagine this morning not having Jesus in my life. I don't know about you folks, but God's been good to me. I mean, He put my family back together. He put my home back together. And I tell you this morning, if Jesus did not come out of the grave, my preaching would be in vain, and the promise that I have would be in vain. It also says in verse number 17, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain this morning. Listen, folks, I'm going to go ahead and tell you this morning, without Jesus, there's no hope in the world. There's people today, they're trying to fill that void that they have. It's so sad to see those that are putting dope and alcohol and sex and everything else in their life to fill that void, when these three words could fill the void of any broken heart. This morning, He is risen. And so I'll say, number one, these are compelling words, because our preaching would be in vain. Our promise would be in vain. But I want you to look in verse number 14. The Bible says this. Verse number 15. And yea, we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. Not only would our preaching be in vain, our promise would be in vain, and our professing would be in vain. It would be no reason to go out on the third Sunday of each month and witness to anybody. There would be no reason this morning to tell anybody what Jesus Christ done for you, because you would just be serving another dead man. This morning, I'm not serving a dead man. I tell you, this morning, I can go out. And the other day, I was talking to somebody about how good God's been to me. But you know what? If Jesus hadn't come out of the grave, those were just empty words for me telling them. It's just some other fairy tale that you find in a fairy tale book. But I'll tell you this morning, my friend, He is risen. So why are they compelling words? Because if He did not rise, our preaching would be in vain. Our promise would be in vain. Our professing would be in vain. But look at verse number 17. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, and ye are yet in your sin. I tell you something that would really, I tell you this morning, to be something real sad. Our pardon would be in vain. Boy, this morning, all those sins that Jesus Christ bore on Calvary's cross. I read yesterday an article on AL.com that Jesus really ascended into hell. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I don't need the newspaper to tell me if Jesus ascended into hell. I'm going to tell you something, my friend. He ascended into hell and took our sin and He buried it there, and He went into hell and He got the keys, amen, to death and hell. And in the book of Revelation, He said, I am He that was dead and alive, and I have the keys to death and hell this morning. I'll tell you something, my friend, Jesus has the keys this morning. But if He did not rise, our pardon, we're still yet in our sin. Now, I'm going to tell you something, folks. I don't know about you. I'm not going to tell you what all sin I used to do. And I don't want to hear what you used to do. But that sin that you used to carry, that God began to bear for you on Calvary's cross, you still got to carry it if He did not rise from the dead. But I'll tell you, my friend, He arose. He arose. This morning, my pardon is full this morning because He arose. And so we not only find compelling words, but I want you to look in verse number 17 and through verse 20. They're comforting words. And then if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, and you're yet in your sins. They also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable. Now in Christ, risen from the dead, and become the first fruit of them that slept. I'm telling you something, if Christ didn't come up, every time you walked into a church or a funeral home, and you've seen a loved one laying in a casket, there's no hope. You'll never see them again. My friend, if Jesus Christ hadn't come up that third day, the last time you seen mama, or the last time you seen grandma, that'll be the last time you ever see them. But I tell you tonight, or this morning, I'll say this, I had a godly grandmother, and I can remember the day that I preached her funeral. She was, most of you know, she was Jesse Helms of the Jimmy Helms congregation. And I can remember my grandmother laying there, and I told the congregation, we're not here to bury her. We're here to plant her, because she's coming up one day. Hey, I can be in comfort this morning, knowing I'm going to see my grandmother again because of Jesus Christ coming out of the grave. 1 Thessalonians 4, and you don't have to turn there, verses 13 through 18. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For we, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Amen. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, amen, he said, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. He is risen, amen. And I'm telling you, that's compelling words. You think about it. The most three powerful words ever spoken, he is risen. And not only are they compelling words, they're comforting words. We just had a preacher friend of mine lost his daddy, and they'll be burying him tomorrow. And I tell you, this morning, you think about the sadness in that family. You think about the tears that'll roll down their face, but they have hope because the man was saved and born again. And they have hope one day that they'll see that man again. And last of all, I want you to notice with me, if you're still in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look at verse 24. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall put down all the rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. And the last enemy shall be destroyed, his death. I'm telling you, not only are they compelling words, they're comforting words. This is conquering words. I'm telling you something, my friend, this morning. There's only one man that's defeated death. There's only one man that had the ability to snatch the keys from death, and that was the Lord Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55 through 57 says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation 1:18, I've already kind of quoted this. I'm he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. And I like what he said. Amen. And have the keys of death and hell. I'm telling you this morning, not only are there conquering words, they're comforting words, they're compelling words, but these words are conquering words. I serve a God you can't kill him, amen. You can't do. I mean, the Roman soldiers thought they had got the victory on the cross. The Pharisees thought they had stopped him. But I'll tell you, he conquered the grave and death for me and you. Now I want to say last of all, I want you to turn to Romans chapter number 10. Romans chapter number 10. Now I want you to look at verse number 9. Not only are they compelling words and comforting words and conquering words, they're completing words. Amen. Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou should confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I want you to notice in verse number 9, that if thou shalt believe in thy heart God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. This morning I stand here redeemed, not because I'm a preacher, I stand here redeemed not because I've gone to church. I stand here redeemed because I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus. And I believe in my heart God had raised Him from the dead. And I tell you this morning, if there's one within the sound of my voice, boy, what a good day to be saved. You'd always remember this Easter, amen. It's the day you pass from darkness into light. And I tell you something, my friend, we're not asking to join the church. All the church is going to, you're going to get is your name on the roll, amen. We're not asking. Y'all got a baptismal pool here. We're not asking you getting in the baptismal pool. All that's going to do is get you wet, amen. We're talking about confessing with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believing in our heart God had raised Him from the dead. And I'll tell you what God will do. He'll save you this morning. And so this morning, as we reflect on this sunrise service, probably the shortest message I've ever preached in my life. But anyway, I didn't want to keep you too long because I didn't want y'all to go to sleep on me. Amen. But listen, think about these words this week, and as you're going through today, He is risen. And this morning, if you don't know the Lord Jesus, the preacher's going to come now and he'll give the invitation. And if you don't know the Lord this morning as your personal Savior, what a day to be saved. What a day to be saved. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for the grace of God. We thank You this morning for the mercy and the long-suffering of God. Lord, I stand here today. Lord, I can't, I don't have the correct words to say sometimes. But Lord, I thank You this morning that You no longer are in a grave, Lord. You're no longer under the bondage, Lord, of death. But You stand in victory this morning. You're seated at the right hand side of the Father, making intercession for me and these folks that are saved. And I pray, Lord, if there's one here this morning that's never asked the Lord to save them, Lord, what a good day to be saved. Lord, as the preacher comes, I pray, God, You convict hearts and bring them to an altar of repentance in Jesus' name. Preacher, You come this morning.
Let's all stand, every head bowed, every eye closed. She's going to begin to play.